Hey everybody, welcome back to the Badgerland Birding Podcast, bringing you birding news and stories from the Badger State and beyond. We are getting excited for spring migration here. It felt like it really ramped up in when it was warmer earlier this year, and then it just kind of halted. And now I feel like we're kind of waiting for it to begin again. Is that how you feel about it too, Ryan?
I do feel as though we've had a strange migration because stuff did seem like it was coming early. So stuff just kind of flooded into the state seemingly earlier than usual. Everything seemed like, oh, that's an early record for this. And then it seemed like the whole thing just took a complete halt, like you said, because I usually remember around Easter time, it always feels like there's a bunch of new stuff in the state. You know, the cool shorebirds are getting reported and stuff like that. And Easter was a little early this year, I believe, but kind of came and went and not a whole lot going on. Because I remember a few years ago, we went in early April, I think, and got Hudsonian Godwits out in Dane County. There was a Saves Phoebe out there when we went with our friend Lester. Remember that?
I do. That
Because
was a
he was
good
talking
day.
about the Pasque flower, how it's associated with Easter and it was blooming. So yeah, it feels like everything's really slow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an early Easter, and that definitely plays a role in it. But it was just weird because it got so warm, and then, everything seemingly halted. But I want to talk a little bit about something we always do every spring that we're going to be doing soon, and just released a video on is, going to look for American woodcocks. And that's a pretty fun spring activity. Not the average person probably goes out and looks for woodcocks, but maybe if they know what to listen for, they could find a nice field and listen for it. But we're gonna go out later, as it's starting to get dark, and listen to them making their peent call. They just kind of sound like meep, and then hopefully we'll be able to find some.
Yeah, I always enjoy looking for woodcocks every year. It's kind of like how you enjoy the 4th of July because you get to see the fireworks. You know, it's like
Basically the
you,
same exact thing.
yeah, I mean, stuff shoots off into the sky
Exactly.
making noises and then comes back down to earth eventually. So really the fireworks of the natural world, I would say, the American woodcock. And they're such a unique bird too because they have that long bill, but it's pliable. So if you ever got the chance to touch a woodcock bill,
I don't even know if I've seen someone banding a woodcock. Like, I don't know how often. I mean, and people hunt them.
I was going
So
to say the way that
sadly,
most
that is
people have
probably your
probably,
opportunity.
yeah, most people that have actually gotten their hands on a good American woodcock have probably only done so because they've hunted it. I think it was it a comment the other day on the woodcock video was like, I hate to be the one to say this, but they're delicious.
I don't
But
even think he
then,
said he hated to be it. He was just like, I'll say it. They're delicious.
yeah, but then somebody at our presentation we did the other day up in Green Lake told me that they shot one once and it was disgusting. So I'm getting some mixed reviews on what woodcock apparently would taste
I don't
like,
know.
but
Maybe it depends on the time of year or
I think
something
they're
like that.
adorable too.
They are
They look like
adorable.
little aliens. They have big bug eyes and no neck.
Somebody posted a fascinating picture online where it was a picture of the back of a woodcock, but you could see the eyes. Like you could see it. It almost looked like it was looking backwards. So they have to have some wicked vision. Although I feel like they're not really that startled by people. So I don't know how much that really helps them defensively. But basically when they go out, they make that peent call because they're trying to like assert a territory and bring in a mate, and then they'll fly up and do this flutter. So basically they'll spiral into the sky and then they'll come back in a relatively the same spot. And so you can kind of just sit there listening to them and then watch them as they come back to those similar spots. And last time we also had a lot of Wilson snipes hanging out in the marshy area where we were too, and they look similar to woodcocks. But they're not going to be doing the painting and the flight display.
For some reason, I thought you said, and then they spiral out of control when they're looking for a mate. And I was gonna be like, I guess some of them probably do. It is funny how many you can be in a certain area, though, because as soon as it gets dark enough, it's like you're waiting, everything else gets quiet. You know, you hear some of the other migratory species moving around, but then all of a sudden you just hear that one, and then you're like, okay, woodcocks are cool. And then all of a sudden from behind you, hear, and then it, all of a sudden 8 or 9 of them are going off, and you're like, where have you been this whole time? And I think that they actually, what's weird about them too is they're, I believe, in the sandpiper family, actually. Same with Wilson snipes, I want to say. And they're more terrestrial. You don't usually find them by the water. They're woodland birds, which is interesting.
Well, the funny thing is it's harder to find them in Louisiana, and it'd be the kind of thing where you would just be walking the woods and one would get kicked up. I think they actually did an event. Louisiana has all kinds of interesting birding events, like the Yellow Rails and Rice Festival, where people pay to watch a combine plow a field, and then you watch the rails fly out of it, and then they'll catch some and band them. But they also had an event where they had a dog, like a hunting dog, go out and go find woodcocks to like flush them out of the woods and stuff. It's a trickier species to find down there, but it's interesting, kind of the events you see around birds and birding.
Seems like Louisiana is really on the forefront of farming and hunting and trying to make it ecotouristic.
I don't know if it's the forefront of tourism, but they've got some strategies.
I feel like someone
It's
was just like,
interesting.
every time I plow my field, there's all these birds coming out. Maybe someone wanna see those.
Yeah, that's possible. But I'm pumped because I got to break out the Zeiss DTI 4 last night. So that's a thermal imaging camera, basically. And so I think it's like $3,700. But they sent us one to test out, so we don't get to keep it, unfortunately. But it is so cool. I just tried it from the backyard. The frustrating thing was there was a great horned owl making noise, and I could see the area where it was, but it was smack dab in the middle of like four backyards. And so I actually ended up going out in the car at like 1 in the morning, circling the neighborhood, trying to figure out if I could pinpoint this owl. And I was never able to. And then I woke up really early and it was hooting again, and there were crows chasing it, but it was still just in that spot, like in the center of those neighborhoods. So I never did get a look at it.
I thought you were going to say, and so I just walked into the neighborhood and into the yards and started staring at people's houses with the night vision binoculars.
I mean,
But
I
we also
felt.
have the non-expensive or not so expensive ones too, which are kind of fun so
Those are
far.
about
That's the only one I've tried.
$600.
Yeah, I say not expensive just as a relative term,
Yeah.
but those are cool too. I haven't tried those for birds, but you can see the warmth of human beings if you're in a room of people, so it works at least a little bit.
So I'll tell you, the definition on the Zeiss is crazy. It differentiates the colors a lot more. So I feel like on the more, I'm gonna say more affordable, even though it's like $600, which is still a lot. But that one, you kind of just be like, oh, there's a little red spot there, like something hot's there. On the Zeiss, you're like, it's a feral cat, which I also spotted this morning.
That's a
And you
shame.
can really see the definition of the creature. It's really cool. You're gonna have fun with it later when we hopefully see some high definition woodcocks.
When we see some woodcocks, I feel like back when we first started birding, for some reason it was easier to see the woodcocks. I don't know if the fields were just shorter, but I feel like you could bring a spotlight out there and you could get a look at them and you could even see them sometimes before. It was really too dark to get videos. And now I feel like I can never just get a good look at them because the grass where we go is so tall.
We
So I
ended
don't
up
know if that's just my own bias or what, but I feel like I haven't gotten a great look at one in a long time.
Well, we ended up using the night vision binoculars last time to see them, but it's probably similar to the short-eared owls where it depends on the day whether they come out early or late. Like you'd probably go for a week and, mark the time of the first painting call, and it would probably be different every day. So it might be kind of a luck of the draw type deal, like the short-eared owls.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good night for the woodcocks, though. It's always an interesting thing to see for sure, going out and finding those birds.
Yeah, we could get some other cool migrants too. I know last year we had a meadowlark that was hanging out. Sometime in the place that we're going, you get rusty blackbirds.
I was gonna say, have you seen rusty blackbirds yet this year?
No, not officially, because we didn't have them anywhere we traveled, right? I
I
don't
don't
think
think
so.
so. I saw them with Nathaniel, who's a friend of the program. And I don't know if I told you this story, actually. We were down in like Franklin area, so it's a suburb of Milwaukee for those of you that aren't Wisconsinites. And we saw some other species, and Nathaniel's, a little bit of a wild card. So he's like, oh, let's go to this abandoned place. And I was like, okay. And I was like, are we allowed to
He just
walk
had
here?
an abandoned place, like
Yeah,
in the
there was just
back of his
some
mind.
abandoned place. He's like, yeah, I go here. And then I tell, if anyone asks, I tell them I do ecological surveys. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, is it public land though? And he's like, I think so, yeah. And so we went there and there was a huge flock of blackbirds that were there, and there were some rusties in that group. I didn't get very good looks at them. And then one of our other friends we encountered later, and I was like, yeah, Nathaniel took me to some sketchy abandoned place on this road. And she's like, oh, yeah, I go there all the time. And I was like, are we allowed to be there? Is it public? And she's like, probably. So I still don't know if I illegally trespassed or not, but I'm
You
gonna
should
say
probably
no.
figure that out.
I'm gonna say no. I don't know if I'll ever go back there, though. The vibes were just sketchy.
It was fun. Was it the place or was it the company you were with?
Both,
Oh.
definitely. Both were sketchy.
Nathaniel's fun to bird with. He's a really good birder. He's 19 now, so he's getting up there in age.
He should be able to drive.
Yeah, he should. Hopefully, he'll be able to drive
He might
soon.
be able to drink before he's able to drive.
That's true. But I in Louisiana, some groups had a very cavalier attitude of odds, oh, but they'd be like, odds, oh, can we bird here? They're like, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. But I feel
Yeah,
like
you know.
people with firearms are more prevalent to just be like, what are you doing on my property?
Yeah, I remember when we were in California, it was really the opposite, where
Oh,
any
yeah.
place Rachel was like, we shouldn't be here. And it would be like, but we're on the road. She's like, it doesn't matter. She's like,
It's
we
like.
can't stop in this
It's like
location.
Saxon Bog and Stickney Road, where some guy's gonna come out and wave a gun at you or something.
Yeah, for those of you who have never been to Saxon Bog, there's an infamous fella that lives in the bog on a road who I guess was in the military at some point or something is the story, and he'll get upset or confused if people are on his property. And there's been times when people allegedly have been shot at by this guy. So it's like a thing, like avoid Stickney Road. And I remember one time somebody in the group chat or WhatsApp or whatever it is up there was like, I just went in the ditch on Stickney. And a lot of people were just like, oh, that's too bad. Nice knowing you.
It must just be a little part of Stickney Road. I can't imagine it's the whole thing, right?
I don't know. He might own all of Stickney Road. Like, just don't even think about going there. Don't even look at it. You know,
Maybe.
I feel like it's actually worth discussing all of the random times that people have been upset about not necessarily trespassing, but just not being near their property. Because we always joke about people looking creepy with binoculars and cameras and stuff. But I've had some weird instances where people, like, I'm not even remotely doing anything that looks sketchy and they get mad about it.
Would you like to enlighten us?
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that you want to know so bad. There was one time we were in this small town up in central-ish Wisconsin, and we were just outside of some houses looking the opposite direction, and we were looking for Eurasian collar doves. And some person who was driving by was like, "You're not allowed to have cameras in this town." And we were just like, "What?" They're like, "Yeah, you have to put them away and then leave." And I was just like, "Does this guy have something sketchy going on at his house that he's is he
Runs
burying
the
a body
illegal
right
weed
now?"
factory down the road.
Yeah, he's like, and definitely ignore the grow lights in my house. But it was weird. There was another time that I think we were actually trespassing with one of my friends. No, don't worry, I didn't do it. It was all him. And there was a confrontation that happened. It was at a go-kart track, and to
Oh.
get to the place we were going, you had to go through the go-kart business kind of. And we went out birding on this public land. And then when we got back, the owner of the go-kart track, I guess, was really mad at my friend who took us there. And was like, "You're not allowed to be here." And he's like, "But Tommy said I'm allowed to be here." And he's like, "Tommy doesn't have jurisdiction here." It was like a big thing.
Jeez. The one that I remember is when we were in a neighborhood looking for a great tit. Do you remember that? And then,
Of course, I remember
I mean, we
that.
were looking around the neighborhood, like by the houses. It's hard not to look creepy when you're looking in people's backyards, and it definitely is something you try to be as polite as possible. But a guy came out in a bathrobe with his cell phone filming. He's like, "Why are you looking in my house?" And it wasn't even the house we were looking at. It was
We
like
weren't
the
even
house
really
next to
anywhere
it.
near his house, to be honest.
And he was just like irate about it. And our friend Bill was with us, and he really talked him down. He's like, "We're looking for birds. Like, do you want to see my pictures?" And eventually he calmed down, but he was like, it kind of looked like he was gonna have a heart attack.
Yeah,
And
I
we
remember he
wondered if
looked
he
like he
was.
was literally in the process of having a heart attack. And I was like, dude, because at the time, weren't we like college age?
Yeah, we were just in the back seat, like, oh,
Yeah, of
what's
like,
going on?
yeah, of some car that looked like it was a mom car or something. It wasn't like it was a bunch of sketchy people wearing trench
It
coats. It
wasn't a
was like,
blacked out van or anything.
no, it wasn't a windowless van. So
But we
Yeah, that was a
wondered what
little
he
bit of
was
an
doing
overreaction.
inside because it was seemed like a very violent reaction.
Well, there was also some incidents at HorrorCon. There was a pheasant farmer there, I think. And somewhere near HorrorCon, too, there's that guy that they call Mr. Bird. Do you know about Mr. Bird?
I've heard rumblings about him, but you probably know more than
Apparently,
me.
there's some farm pond on his property that people go to see shorebirds. And then apparently, if you're there, this guy will try to scare away the shorebirds or yell at you and like shout at you. And people seem like they take it more than others. So some will be like posting, "Yeah, I saw a redneck phalarope at this pond on this road, and Mr. Bird was out there yelling at me for 2 hours while I watched." And I'm like, "What? Like you're just sitting there waiting for this guy to yell at you?" And I don't know. There was also that pheasant farmer, like I said, he's run out and gotten in people's faces before, apparently, too. And you do wonder what's going on these properties, because I get respectfully asking people to not look on your property or something like that, or not go on your property. But when you have that massive of a reaction, it's a little
Yeah,
wild.
guess which story that reminds me of?
What?
Y'all trying to steal my dog?
That's the story you always tell when you tried to steal someone's dog.
There's no dog thievery. Me and
Well,
Nathaniel,
yeah, because they stopped you.
we're looking for Rufus Winged Sparrow in a neighborhood, and these people have this fenced in yard where their dog came out and started barking at us through the yard, and then she came out and she's like, "Why are you looking at my dog?" We're like, "We're looking at birds." She's like, "What bird are you looking for?" We're like, "Rufus Winged Sparrow." She's like, "And they live around here?" We're like, "Yeah." Like, I felt like she thought every question was going to trip us up, but we wouldn't have an answer for it. Like, do people come here often to just, try to steal people's dogs? I feel like in the South, there's an overabundance of dogs. If we wanted a dog, we could literally go to any street and find our own dog.
It would have been funny if one of those questions did trip you up. She's like, "What are you looking for?" And you're like, "Rufus Winged Sparrow." And she's like, "Do they live here?" And you're like, "No." She's like, "I was trying to steal the dog. You got me."
Yeah,
Were you like, "Your
people get
dog was trying
weird.
to steal my friend?"
Well, I was like, "Your dog's out here barking at us. I don't know what you want us to do. Like,
You're like,
keep
"This
your
is
dog
actually a you
inside."
problem, ma'am.
I don't know. And then we found a great horned owl, so that was cool too. And we did find the Rufus Winged Sparrow.
Was it on her property?
No, it wasn't even on her property. We were across the street too. We weren't even like by her yard.
There's such a
So.
variance between what people want to happen on their property and what people don't, because so many homeowners are so nice when people want to come see the birds they have in there. We were just talking the other day when we first started birding. There was a farmer and he had this big patch of property and there was a pond on it that had all these geese and ducks. And we literally went to his house and knocked on the door and asked him if we could see it. And he was like the nicest dude ever.
Harlan's. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a
So.
good dude. He's like, "Yeah, go ahead. Check it out."
You know, a lot of times people are also like, "Yeah, you can come back anytime you want." And I
Yeah.
remember there was that one time we were in northern Wisconsin too, and there was a guy that had purple finches. I think it was that were some, was it purple finches or was it something else?
It was purple finches, and I think he had evening grosbeak showing up occasionally too.
Well, there was a lot of birds that would show up at his bird feeder, and we saw it as a point on eBird, so we just stopped and knocked, and he's like, "You here to see my birds?" And we were like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Come back anytime you want." Another super nice guy.
Yeah, it definitely pays to ask, but like I feel like there's certain situations where it seems you feel more it's appropriate to ask. Obviously, if you're ever stepping foot on somebody's property, but when you're just kind of in the vicinity and somebody gets that mad, that's when I think it's weird because you're not going to go to the neighborhood, knock on every single door, be like, "I am slightly looking over your backyard for this bird that's around."
Feels like you're telling everybody in the vicinity, you know, like going door to door, like, "I'm looking for birds in this area.
You
There is
seen
a
them? Where
possibility.
are they?"
Yeah. If you have anything sketchy going on, you do not want me to see, let me know now so I can look away."
It can get dicey. I'd be curious to hear some of our listeners' stories about crazy people. And then we had one time we were doing a panning shot down by the beach. We were just getting some footage. Then one guy, not even in the shot, was like, "Don't film me."
He was like behind you too. Like there was no chance he was gonna be
I
in
think he
that.
wanted us to film him. I think it
You
was
think so?
he's probably in witness protection or
You think he was
program or
using
something.
reverse psychology? He's like, "Don't film me," and he's hoping that then you want to film him. I wouldn't
Maybe.
be surprised though if he was some sort of criminal. You know, he's got wanted posters out there, and that's the way he was gonna get discovered and sent to prison.
Could be. But yeah, it's a real spectrum when you go out there and you hear people's opinions about stuff. We were talking about some of the controversial issues during our presentation as well, and how the viewpoints on that is really varied. I feel like the more that I learn about controversial issues, like the barred owl calling, keeping your cats inside, which I think to most birders, that's not a controversial issue. They're just like, yeah, obviously keep your cat inside. But it's amazing how much the public does not know about it slash does not care about it. There's
Are you sure you want to bring up controversy again?
I'm sure that I want to talk about some feral cats right now because we made a little Instagram. It was just a meme about it. And it was very vague too. And it was just basically being like, when people say it's good, their cat's outside, that it's actually not for the environment. And so many people were like, they need to be outside. If I leave them inside, it's animal abuse. And they're like, but they're a wild animal. They just
They
cannot,
crave the
they
outdoors.
cannot grasp, or they just are not informed on the information enough to make a, logical kind of decision with it.
Yeah, I don't
So it
know where they
was,
get that from either. I
I
don't know.
don't
Is it
either.
just their parents that tell them, hey, just so you know, if you have a cat, it needs to be
I
outside?
think they're just
Or are they doing
lazy.
research? You think they're
They're
lazy?
like, I don't want to take care of this thing. Let me just put it outside. It's wild. It likes to be outside. It'll come back,
See,
maybe.
my thing, I don't think I would ever want a pet that I would have to let it be outside because something bad's going to happen to it. I've read that stat that the life expectancy of an outdoor cat is significantly lower than that of an indoor cat. And maybe these people don't actually like their cats. Maybe they inherited it and they're just thinking, man, I need to get rid of it somehow. It's an outdoor cat.
Well, there are ways to get your cat outside. It's
Leash
like a
that bad
dog.
boy
Yeah,
up.
you can leash it. You can get like a cage almost outside with like play toys in it that it can hang out in sometimes. It can enjoy the elements without getting smoked by a coyote or something like that.
He's like getting smoked by a coyote.
Yeah. I mean, I guess people don't think about that when you let your cat outside, how many predators and diseases they can get. And then, isn't there some cat parasite too that, what's the story with it? It's like it makes your owner.
So I don't know the exact details, but there's something in cat poop where if you get it over time into your brain, it essentially starts to eat away at your brain and causes your behavior to change, which is why people say that crazy cat women are actually a thing. Because you do legitimately go crazy over time being exposed to this thing that's in cat feces to the degree that pregnant women aren't even supposed to change litter boxes.
I think
So we
it's.
apparently have something that we've chosen to bring into our homes. Not you and I personally, because we don't have a cat. But we as a society have brought into our homes that is so dangerous that pregnant women aren't supposed to be around it.
Called toxoplasmosis as the infection, with the parasite called Toxoplasma gondii. People often get infected from
Well, that
eating
makes it sound peaceful.
undercooked meat is the most often way you get it. Didn't somebody have that in one of the medical shows?
Probably. But yeah, cats are, it's amazing to the degree that we have not succeeded in domesticating them, yet have convinced ourselves that we have.
The thing about cats for me is I feel as though most of them aren't even nice. Someone's like, yeah, I have a cat. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Can I pet it? They're like, no, he'll
Yeah.
bite you. It's like,
It loves me, though.
why do you
Trust
have
me, it
this as a
loves me.
pet?
We have this connection that's unbreakable. Can you touch your cat? No, 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 no. I let that bad boy outside most of the time, too.
Gosh.
Well, there's that one video. I can't remember the guy's name now, but I think he does stuff for Screen Rant. You know, the first guy to ever own a cat,
Oh.
where he kind of plays both roles, and he's a roommate who's bringing a cat in, and the other roommate's skeptical and is saying all these things about it. And he's like, well, at least we'll, do this, right? And he's like, oh, no, it doesn't do anything.
Does it love you unconditionally? Oh, absolutely not. I think
I
it hates me.
remember the one is. He asks about if they're clean or not, and he's like, "Oh yeah, super clean. It licks itself all the time." And he's like, "I don't think that's clean as much as it is covered with saliva." And he just goes, "Oh yeah, he's covered with
Yeah.
it."
Cats, man. It is sad when you go, it's more prevalent in the South how many just feral animals there are. Especially, it's so sad to see puppies that people dump.
Oh, puppies are
and
so
stuff.
sweet.
I know. I feel like if you see a group of puppies, you gotta take them in. You can't just not. Mostly
Have
we
you ever
see.
found a group of puppies outside?
No, but I've had friends who have, or groups of kittens. Well,
Well,
they'll
we got to
be
give a shout out to Justin, who got
Justin.
his dog because it found him at Benson Rio Grande in South
Indeed,
Texas.
Justin LeClaire, hero. My friend Katie Barnes does a lot of dog rescue too. She's in Louisiana, another dog hero. But I've heard stories where they'll be walking down the, someone will be walking down the road and they'll hear a kitten. And then the kitten will come over and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this kitten." And then like 10 more kittens come over.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'd be
And
like, no, you're a killing machine.
now they're your responsibility. We'll just keep them inside and it'll be fine.
But
But
the dog thing, I might keep a dog if I found a puppy.
you can't just leave it there, you
Well, I
know?
wouldn't leave it there, but I'm saying it might just be mine then.
There was something called, people were talking about like the cat acquisition system, where it's you don't plan to have a cat, the cat just finds you. And it's a system where when the time is right, you'll like one just walks up to you and it's like, "Oh, this is mine now."
So I have a
You
hot
take it
take. I
inside.
think that we should stop selling cats and dogs and say, if you want one, you need to just go find one.
See, that
Go get
seems
one
much
on your
more
own.
rewarding too. Just be like all the places where they sell dogs, be like, "We're out. We're out
Well,
until
that's
we
like
get our
real life
surplus
Pokemon.
taken care of."
That's real life Pokemon. You go out there and you're like, yeah, I caught a Growlithe today.
How many people do you think would just have a wolf that'd be like, "Got this dog," or a
Or a
coyote or
coyote.
something
Yeah. Or
with
some other
names?
random animal out there, like a possum or a wolverine.
Well, there's been the stories of people raising cougars by mistake and stuff.
Bobcats as well, yeah.
Yeah,
They'll
bobcat
be like,
seems more forgivable. Cougar, I feel like that's a tough one.
at what point do you realize this may not be a regular house cat with a cougar?
Well, I would say when they hiss at you, but regular cats hiss at you too. I don't know,
Yeah,
when it gets
so.
larger probably than a regular cat. Like, this thing's getting pretty big.
Yeah, I stopped feeding it cat food and started feeding it whole chickens, and that's when I knew something was amiss with little rascal here.
So I heard a story on the radio of, I don't, I it was hard for me to believe that this actually happened, but it was someone who claimed that they had found what they thought was a hedgehog on the side of the road. So they brought it in and put it in a box, and they were going to take it to rehab. And they're like, "I really didn't want to bother it, so I
I
took it
didn't want to
to,
bother it.
yeah, like if it was injured, you know, just like leave it in the shoebox or whatever." And they took it to rehab. And then when the rehabbers opened it up, they started laughing because it was literally just the pom-pom from a hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, how do you, is it, was the vision of the person that, but like when you pick that up, it's obviously not going to feel like a hedgehog. Like, I think that should have been discovered much
I'm
sooner.
picturing them using tongs, you know, because they don't want to get quilled. They're just tonging this hat pom pom. Man, we got way off track though. So birds, right?
I mean, I'll talk about some hogs, you know.
Well,
It
actually, you're talking
all
about
comes
pom
back to
poms.
birds with the feral cats, but yeah, there's
Everything
a
comes back to birds.
we were gonna talk about some backyard birds as
Well, I learned a
well.
fun fact about mourning doves. You want to hear
I'd
this
love
fun
to hear
fact
your
about
fun
mourning doves?
facts about mourning doves.
Apparently, during their breeding season, you can actually tell the males and females apart because males will get that dusky cap on their head, which I think
Cool.
is cool. So
I'll
I
have
saw
to
a
look out
pair
for
of them
that.
at the bird feeder the other day, and I said, that one's the male, that one's a female. I don't know
When
how that helps me in my
yeah,
life.
what'd you do with that knowledge? You're just like, "Now I know."
I was like, I'm gonna name that one Bert and I'm gonna name that one Betsy. And I know
There
it's the right gender specific name.
you go. I'm excited for spring when we start seeing some of those migrants in the backyard. And we were just talking about how, at least by us, the American tree sparrows are still here. But eventually they'll
They
get
are.
displaced by the chipping sparrow. And it's kind of like the two niches just swap. It's like, here's our winter sparrow, here's our summer sparrow. And
Yeah,
then they
the
just
song
trade
sparrows are
places.
back here.
Yeah,
Song sparrows are kind of our summer sparrow too.
not as much in the yard. Although I feel like we've had a couple hanging out in the yard.
Well, do you want to tell people at all about the new gadget that we have?
Well, there's a couple new gadgets we've been testing out. One is a 4K smart bird feeder, so it shoots really high quality videos. That's been cool to see. And then we're also testing out the Haiku box that our friend Alex told us about the other day. So we've had that in the back picking up bird calls, and it uses BirdNet, so it tries to tell you what's in the yard. It's not always been the most accurate, It was frustrating because that great horned owl was calling virtually all night and it didn't pick it up whatsoever, which is weird
That
because,
is weird.
yeah, it was very loud. And I remember Alex saying the same thing about the woodcocks. He was like, the woodcocks are making noise and it doesn't pick it up.
He's like, one was sitting on my haiku box and it did not pick it up.
Yeah, so kind of weird that it's not picking that up, but it does tell us about occasional things we didn't know, like tufted titmouse it had a nice recording of, which I've never seen in the backyard, but they're around in the area. So what would you say your favorite backyard bird is?
Depends on the time of year, I think.
For
I'm
all
always a.
seasons, you got to take it all into account.
I mean, it depends how you categorize backyard bird, too, because would you say a brown creeper is a backyard bird?
I would.
I mean, I'd say brown creeper then.
Surprised you didn't go with the nuthatch. I know you have an
Nuthatches and
affinity
brown
for
creepers are
nuthatches.
very close in my book to the near and dear to my heart birds. I like both a lot. Brown creepers are pretty cute, though.
They are. I feel like I appreciate them a lot too because they're more infrequent than a lot of the other stuff.
They're so goofy too.
Yeah. You know, the Junco is a pretty cool one. It's nice to see them hopping around, although it makes you depressed that winter's coming to some degree. We still have Junkos
How about
hanging around
now?
too. Now I feel like I'm gonna miss them because I see them and I'm like, man, they won't be here much longer.
What's kind of crazy, they get down really far south too, because I've been in South Carolina during like spring, you know, March, and seen dark-eyed juncos. So they really they move around a lot. I've seen them actually, some of them stay all year because I've seen some in South Dakota before in the summertime. So sometimes they're around still. They don't all go up north.
Yeah, and they're super abundant. It says there's approximately 260 million, second to the only to the American robin. So probably one of our most abundant birds here in the US.
I didn't know the robin was that high. But I guess it makes
Let me
sense
see what
because
it
I've seen them
says.
everywhere. I'm kind of surprised House Sparrow didn't take that one, or European Starling or something.
It says a separate paper estimates the jungle population could actually be as high as 630 million. That's a big discrepancy,
That is a
260
huge discrepancy. I don't know
compared
how
to
you,
630.
I don't know how you even get close to the right amount. I mean, you can use data from eBird and stuff, but I don't see how you even get in the same ballpark.
So it says, according to Project Feederwatch, Juncos are sighted at more feeding areas across North America than any other bird. Over 80% of those responding report Juncos at their feeders. So that's probably, a bird a lot of people are seeing.
Probably. We'll see what wave of migration we're actually in right now, too, because right now we don't have the consistent yellow-rumped warblers yet. We do have golden-crowned kinglets around. I haven't personally seen a hermit thrush yet this spring. So all the ducks kind of came through already. So I guess we're waiting for some of the stuff like warblers to get here at this point.
Yeah, the wave just feels so split. It's like we had a wave and now there's nothing. Now it's a trickle. We'll see when it kind of ramps up. Maybe when we go out looking for woodcocks, we'll be able to see like some hermit thrushes or hear some
Might hear
different
some
things.
towhees and things.
Maybe. Yeah. You just gotta get out and
Get
look.
out.
I know some of our friends who went out had yellow-rumped warblers, and we had our first white pelicans yesterday too. So stuff's out there, and just you get a little impatient. You're like, man, I thought we were making our way through, and it just kind of stalled out. But
You
it'll
know what
pick
I've
up.
noticed a lot more of all of a sudden in the past month is kestrels.
Junkos.
No, those have
You
been
just been
here.
in kestrel habitat more so
I
than
think that's
before?
part of it, but there were times when I went around to country roads, you know, in the first 2 months of the year, and there weren't many kestrels, and they do start to kind of move in more in spring. But there was a day I was out, I think it was Saturday, I was out near Horicon Marsh driving some country roads, and I probably saw 20.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
Yeah.
kestrels are real cool.
They're cool. They're so colorful. Colorful little falcons.
Yeah. Well, excited for spring. Excited to do more thermal testing. Excited to look for woodcocks. Excited to hear people's stories about people they've run into while birding as well.
Excited to start another firestorm about feral cats.
Well, I feel like the people that listen to our podcast are probably more ecology-based people. You were not going to hit the everyday person that's like, my cat deserves to be outside.
They should
He'll
start a
die
debate
otherwise.
series called Cat Wars, where people just debate whether cats should be outside or not.
I'm gonna start a channel called Cat Rant, where it's just rants about different feral cat things.
I thought you were going to say Cat Ranch, where it's just a ranch for all the cats.
That's some older ladies' houses. It's
I
probably
was
a cat
gonna say
ranch.
this earlier, but I forgot. One of the most disturbing scenes I've seen with cats was in that California park, where there was
Oh,
probably
yeah.
100 of them all being fed in this one area, just all these feral cats, and it was right near a place where yellow-billed magpies were nesting.
Yeah, that was weird. It was like they all just came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Like, if you walk in that forest, is there just a cat every like 20 feet?
Maybe. It seemed like they just kind of sat there for most of their time
And the
too. It
sad
didn't
thing
seem like they
about
were
that
doing
too
much.
is if somebody wants to dump their cat, I feel like they're like, oh, I know a place. There's already
Yeah.
like 50 cats there. So that
Right.
probably doesn't help promote that at all.
Exactly. It's not
Or I mean
helpful.
it does promote people dumping their cat, which is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
And on that note.
something to work on, I guess. You don't get the word out there. Oh, let's give everybody a task. You know, if you haven't, tell someone to keep their cats inside this week.
Hashtag neuter them.
Neuter them, spay them, and then keep them inside.
Yeah. Catch and release, but you catch them and then you release them indoors.
Release them into your friend's house. Be like, this is yours now.
You a cat now.
Keep it
Congratulations.
inside. Well,
That's gonna be the
on.
new fruitcake present. Like, I got you a cat for Christmas.
You gave someone a cat as a white elephant gift?
Yeah.
Well, on that note, excited to hear the comments. If you haven't yet, please give us a rating and review. That always helps us out a lot. And thanks to everyone for watching this episode of the Badgerland Birding Podcast.